have no doubt around that, but if I see a...
I need a little motor, a little pounder, a cup holder. Fishing rod holder.
Yeah, yeah. GPS.
You know, like one of our people, regulars downtown.
I know. Cooler.
Little cart and stuff, yeah.
Very late.
Whenever you are.
Okay. Welcome everybody, I'd like to call meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Roll call.
Backlund. Crunch.
Here.
Needhammer.
Here.
Page.
Here.
Salomon.
Here.
Quorum present.
I'll make a motion to have an excused absence for Yukonko.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda, the purpose of the consent agenda is to expedite business by bringing non-controversial items together to be dealt with by one commission motion without discussion. Any member of the commission, staff, or the public may ask that any item in the consent agenda be removed and placed as the last item in new business to receive full discussion. Such requests will be automatically respected. We have two items, A, approval of the June 12th City Commission regular meeting minutes as presented, and approval to purchase 8 sets of fire decks, fire gear in the amount of $18,080 and authorize the city manager to execute the documents. So I would,
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Item 4, hearing citizens' comments. At this time, any comments that are not an agenda item? Okay, thank you. Moving on to correspondence. I have my Arbor Day letter that I get. It goes to Pat. Any other correspondence?
Not at this time.
Okay. Mike, let's have a city manager report.
Just a few items. You may have noticed things looking a little bit brighter as you drove to City Hall today. That's because the pavement marking crews were in town and continuing to mark our streets. You can see that there are long lines of work right now. The Fochman parking lot, which is at the intersection of Park and River Streets, will be closed tomorrow for soil borings that are being provided free of charge to the city through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation and Michigan Municipal League. We're receiving that service because we're a certified redevelopment-ready community around the state. The borings that are being done there will provide us better information on what type of buildings could possibly be built there in the future. A reminder that our community goal-setting surveys are due this coming Monday, July 2nd. We have hard copies downstairs and at various locations around town, like the chamber and the library. And they're also available online. As of this morning, and this number is updated since I typed this, I heard the last number was 395 surveys have been completed, and Commissioner Grunch turned in some more, which should take us over 400 at this point. So we'd encourage you to basically talk it up more with any members of the community that may not have heard about it. There will be a reminder in the e-newsletter that goes out by the Chamber at Main Street tomorrow. That is around Thursday. Anyway, that will be going out as a last-minute reminder to have people turn those in by Monday. Absentee ballots for the upcoming August 7th primary election are now available here at City Hall for registered voters if they care to cast their ballot at this point. We do have a sample ballot available here if anybody would like to take a look at that. Tomorrow, Charleroi County will be holding a meeting here at 6 p.m. Regarding the proposed conversion of the 911 radio system to the state's 800 megahertz system, and who will be paying for the replacement of local radios. Because of the county's meeting that will be held here, we have another meeting scheduled at the same time, which is our 6 p.m. Public downtown parking meeting. And we'll be holding that in the community room of the Boyne District Library. So, two fun meetings to pick from tonight. Summer tax bills are being mailed out this week and should be arriving in property owners' mailboxes shortly. They'll be including a copy of our summer newsletter, as usual. And we've got copies of this that have been provided for the city commission, so you can look at it before they hit your mailbox. And there's some on the little table out there with the agendas, if anybody'd like to pick one up before they leave. Last week was a very monumental week for the Boyne City Main Street program. Not only did they celebrate the actual 15th anniversary of our being announced as the Michigan Main Street program, which happened last Tuesday, but we also have representatives from the state and national Main Street organizations here to basically do a check-in visit with us. And then later on Friday, they held a reception, and kind of a little ceremony over at the Old City Park where our original announcement was made to celebrate both ours and the state's 15th anniversary as the Main Street program. In addition to that, Main Street through Kelsey, our executive director, and some of the board members and other staff worked on submitting a Great American Main Street Award application, and we hope to hear something on that in this fall if we make it into the finals. The awarding of the actual award will take place sometime next year. We applied for this award one time before, and we made it to the final 10, and we haven't reapplied since. So, I hope everybody has a great 4th of July holiday. If you have any questions on these or other items, I'd be glad to try and address them.
Thank you, Mike. Commissioners, anything?
I don't know, the question was Mike made up for me, some little slips of paper to set up about the survey. In our last push, it would be, I think, useful tools to get more, get these in front of people where we have an opportunity to meet with them, which we'll see them. I guess if others wanted a supply of them, they're available.
Yep, let us know and we'll be glad to print some out. We'll see if we can get some distributed at the parking meeting tomorrow with some of those meetings as well, too. So.
Maybe when they do the parking survey, put one under every commission. Okay, reports of officers, boards, and standing committees. We have the financial statement from Cindy. Any questions on that, commissioners? Okay, thank you. We do not have any old business. Moving on to new business, item 9A, first reading of rezoning. Scott?
Thank you, Mayor. We have received a written conditional zoning offer from Ron and Kyle Mills, operating as agents for Christopher Kenner, who's a property owner. They have submitted a purchase offer with conditions that, if approved, for the zoning change that they're going to make this purchase. This property is located on the southeast corner of State Jefferson. It's the old, what many people know as the Rib Shack or Ice Cream Shack. That was in operation years and years ago. It has been vacant and abandoned ever since I've been here. That's over 15 years. And I think it was prior to that. So it was a pre-existing non-conforming use. The rights for that have long since been abandoned. So the current zoning of the property in the traditional residential district, so limiting it to residential uses. Over the period of time since I've been here, we've received numerous calls on that property, mostly for some type of commercial use, all of which had to be rejected because of the current zoning. I have gotten a couple of calls of interest in regards to possible residential uses, but those inquiries were just not followed through with. So, Mr. Miles, Ron and Kyle submitted this request. Their intent is to redevelop that existing structure, create it into a professional office to be used for financial services or similar type of use to that. and operate their business from there. With this, this would require a rezoning. They identified professional office as the most appropriate district and identified in their offer what they would limit those uses to, and also identified what they would do to the structure. Basically, limiting improvements to the existing structure, not expanding on the existing structure. But of course, if this eventually is approved, it would have to come back to the Planning Commission for a development plan review to look at all of those particular issues of parking, lighting, drainage, all those kinds of things. In this review, the Planning Commission did go through the required criteria using the guide. One of the things that was identified is the future land use map and the goals of the master plan, which this particular request is not consistent with. I believe the Planning Commission ultimately looked at the period of time that this property has been vacant and unused and thought that this may be a better alternative to get some kind of life out of that property as opposed to seeing it continue to deteriorate. So it would be my recommendation, if this does move forward, that the city review its master plan, in particular in this particular piece of property, and identify, you know, if there's a policy change made, to look at that master plan and make the appropriate changes. So with that, this comes to you for first reading. Determine if you would like to schedule it for a second reading. The earliest available date for that second reading would be your August 14th regular scheduled meeting. So if you have any questions for me, I'd be more than happy to answer them. And Mr. Miles and Miles are here, so they would be also able to identify your project.
Thank you, Scott. Is there any others, department, staff, or the public that would like to speak on this topic? And we'll get back. At this time, Mr. Mills, would you have any comments?
Well, as we said in the Zoning Commission, basically we're looking at putting in a small office. Predominantly will be him. I also have an office building downstate. Looking at having him and I work out of the office. Basically, keep the structure the way it is. We're obviously going to improve it dramatically. It's going to be a pretty quiet business. We have a lot of clients that are very personal relationships where they come in, and we don't have a lot of traffic or anything, so we thought that would be a good fit.
Okay, so.
I would be curious to know, just as far as parking, like what your plan would be for a parking lot or how many.
Can you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry, Cindy Banner. I actually live in that neighborhood.
Okay.
I work at the Warren Rehab Center. I live over on Spring Street.
Okay.
So I guess I would just be curious. I go by there every day.
At this point, we're discussing land use.
Okay.
So at a later date,
sure,
they would come back and present a site plan. Is that correct, Scott?
That's correct.
Okay.
So I guess parking lot's not really a point at this point. So any other comments? So I go to staff deliberation.
Board deliberation.
Just one question. Is there an expiration date as far as the conditional use permit?
Yes. That can be established by the city. You can put the expiration date at any period you deem appropriate. You can put specific timelines when things need to happen. If things don't happen, there's a reversion clause back to revert back to the original zoning.
So how is that process done? Has it to be done through the commission or the planning commission?
A draft conditional zoning contract will be drafted and submitted to the commission. In there, there will be those timelines, the suggested timelines. The commission can determine if they're appropriate or change them if you feel so fit.
Thank you, Scott.
That's right.
This proposal concerns me a little bit. There are several things that I'd like to speak to and wonder if I can get some response on. The first is that I think that the letter of intent was insufficient. That fits the Crawfords is the developer who puts that together. We don't. And the reason I believe that is that when I was reading this, I wanted to see in that letter of intent those conditions that would address any concerns with this particular use being surrounded by residential, in a residential neighborhood, zoned residential with residential master plan. And the only thing that I could see in there that was a condition was related to the specific use within the uses that are allowable within that district. The rest were restatements of what are to me, looked like restatements of an intent to follow the conditions that are already, the conditions, the standards that are already established for that district. So I couldn't really find it there enough in a conditional to warrant the use in the area with this particular letter of intent. The letter of intent, I think, needs to be more explicit about how those issues would be resolved. Otherwise, it's just a regular rezoning from my perspective. So that was problematic. There was the sketch diagram in there, but I don't think that those are adequate as well. The other thing about the letter of intent that I think is important is once we draft that conditions that include these, that contract includes these conditions, that's a binding contract on both the owners and the city, potentially forever, you know, as long as the use continues. And that, to me, argues that this letter of intent and the conditions stated need to be more explicit. Exactly what those are, I think that it's up to the applicant. But certainly, we get some advice about possible conditions from the planning commission, from the staff. So that's a concern to me. Second thing is, you know, as we look at the list of permitted uses within that professional office district, there's a range of them, and it's not clear to me why this particular use is any less impactful on the surrounding residential area than any other of the permitted uses. For that reason, I wonder why a conditional use at all? Why not just a rezoning for that? There's a list of special uses in that district as well. It would be hard for me to see how any of those could actually pass muster in the condition in a special use permit procedure. So I question whether this is really the right approach given the obligation that it gives the city as a conditional rezon as opposed to a regular rezon. Makes sense. The third thing here is that when you look at the map, it's the only parcel among a sea of residential that's zoned differently. It looks suspiciously like a spot zone to me. And a spot zone has several characteristics. One of them is small in size relative to other parcels. This is. Second, it confirms a benefit on that particular parcel that's not available to the rest of the residential area, which this does by virtue of the value it creates by being commercial. And the third is that it's inconsistent with the master plan, which this is. So those three factors alone would say that that little one parcel zoned in that way is a spot zone, which is not good planning practice, and in some cases it's challenged by the court. So put that all together, I'm not sure this is ready yet. And I would say that even though area what was commercial, it didn't seem to go for anything else, there have been inquiries mostly commercial, makes me wonder whether the first step should be revisiting that area by planning commission from a master plan standpoint and zoning, and saying should this be something else, or should there be a new option that provides for a combination of appropriately scaled office or commercial use plus residential along that street or along that block or even in that corner, you know, comprising the area there before trying to come back with this specific thing that I believe is problematic because conditional rezone, the question of whether it needs to be conditional rezone, and then the risk of this being effectively a spot zone. So those are my concerns, my ramble there. So with that, like I said, I do support this in its current form for those reasons.
Well, the only question I had was whether, let's say that their business failed or they stopped it, would it then be commercial zone or would it go revert back?
Scott?
Well, the way they stipulated in their offer of intent was to allow for professional office, financial services, insurance type of office uses to continue with subsequent owners. If that did not happen, it would have to revert back to some type of residential use. There would be no allowance for conversion to any other.
If theirs did not happen.
Pardon?
If theirs did not happen.
If anyone, if they sold it and to another financial services office, that use would continue in perpetuity. If that use stopped, then it would have to revert back, or it would not be able to convert to some other type of use that's allowed in that district. But I share Commissioner Solomon's concerns in regards to the letter of intent and its inadequacy. I identified to them, it was very important to identify all the possible conditions that they could mitigate. It's in their letter, and it was not open to negotiation with the Planning Commission. So the onus is on them. So to have them go back to the drawing board, I would totally support that. And in regards to the spot zoning, I also concur, and I raised that issue with the Planning Commission at the meeting. And that would be why my recommendation to go back to the planning, this master plan, if there is kind of any change in here. But, I do appreciate changing the master plan prior to the request to make it a better fit as opposed to retrofitting.
It's my turn, and I agree with a lot of things you said, and we discussed a lot of those at the Planning Commission. So since I'm on the Planning Commission and the City Commission, it's kind of my role to be the liaison in between, and we did have those discussions. And I did vote in favor of moving it forward in lieu of the fact that versus those arguments, then you say, okay, it's been basically a dead piece of property forever, probably will be forever, and this is a very low impact way to get it back to a productive piece of property on the tax rolls. Number two, I'm surrounded by residential, as you're concerned, well, right across the street is a church in Kitty Corner, it's electric, and next to that is Dr. Karkasek's old office, which is now an insurance office. So there is, in the neighborhood, some diversity, and actually, churches are allowed in a TRD, but the other two are non-conforming, right? Existing non-conforming uses. So between those two and this piece, you have three non-conforming existing lots. And so I kind of felt that, okay, it's like this. Mm-hmm. And I did vote Planning Commission to forward the process, but you are right. I mean, those are consistencies that we have to balance. So, Mike, go away on this.
I mean, ultimately, the fundamental question. I mean, Dean raises a lot of good points as to what is the best use of that property. What type of a corridor are we trying to create in that neighborhood as well, too? It's very true that that building has not been used for a long period of time, and nothing has happened there. What is being proposed is one option as to what could happen there. It could go back to a commercial use if we feel that is the appropriate step, and that can have other consequences. Another viable option is that at some point that building that is there is torn down, and it becomes a residential lot to deal with the residential needs that we have in our community as well, too. So ultimately, between the Planning Commission and the City Commission, we have to say, what is the vision, and what is the need, and what's the appropriate use there? Because we have two existing commercials across the street, doesn't necessarily negate what the community's vision was when they came up with a master plan for the State Street corridor coming into town. We've had other properties that were commercial that are no longer commercial out there as well, too. We have the probably expired by, as well now. So as we're looking for, you know, the community's priorities, and we're also looking at housing needs, are those opportunities to deal with the housing need we have in our community in a way that is consistent with our existing master plan? Or, as Commissioner Solomon mentions, is this the time to relook at that issue? Ultimately, that's what the decision is going to be between with the City Commission. And the choice you have before you today is to whether to move that process, the process that came before the Planning Commission was started there, and take it to another, the next step, which could be at August 14th or later, or to say, no, we're not comfortable with the direction this is going, and deny the request, and either let the applicants make another pitch with another offer, potentially, then go back to the Planning Commission, and then can come back here for another type of commercial use there, or just send a signal that you don't think that's an appropriate use altogether. So these are some policy decisions the Commission has to think through, and there's a couple things that could take place here. The third option that you have between saying yes or no to this particular request is, if you want to consider it further, you can just table the request and postpone it to another meeting and consider it further if you wanted to dwell on it more.
I have a question for you, Scott. The process of revisiting the master plan and maybe making this or not making this neighborhood appropriate for professional office district, that process, take me through that process. Are you time consuming or?
Yeah, there's requirements for notice of the adjacent municipalities and go through a process and then, or even an option process. So yeah, it's going to take some time.
When was the last time we visited the master plan?
Adopted in 2015.
So it's pretty current, because isn't that recommended every 5 years?
You're supposed to look at it at least every 5 years, but you're not required to change it. Indeed, you should.
But we're well within our due diligence to keep that updated.
Well, it's always a good idea to continue to monitor your master plans as conditions evolve and change and make appropriate changes.
Okay. Any more?
Yeah, my thought would be yes. It would be appropriate for the to do this in order, which would mean to revisit that area. It's okay not to look at the whole master plan, just the part of there, and ask the question, some of which I think Mike really articulated very well. What's the context of this area related to both housing goals and commercial goals? We know what the trends are here. There's two non-conforming businesses there that are doing fine, you know, and plus this as a potential. In my mind, I don't think it's clearly resolved what should happen. They're not inherently opposed to perhaps this proposal, you know, this idea of having that structure perhaps redone as a commercial or some mix of commercial and residential there. I just would like to have more guidance from the Planning Commission after careful consideration and the context of that whole area, not just this one parcel.
I guess one of my concerns too, you know, it seems to me that that place has been empty for more than 15 years, maybe 20, and it seems to me it's kind of like a blight to the neighborhood, the way it sits today, and it's kind of an eyesore, in my own opinion, and I don't know, I think I would be comfortable moving it for a second reading, which would give, you know, 30 days to iron out some of these issues. And that's what we've been asked for to do today, was to, you know, move it to a second reading the 14th of next month. So I guess that's where I stand on it. I'd like to see it cleaned up or gone, personally.
I have a comment on yours, but let's go to my first.
Well, the comments that Ron just raised kind of take it back to another issue that we've been discussing recently, which are property maintenance standards, which would help us as we consider things. We have a number of buildings in our community that are sitting dormant and vacant and are basically not an asset to the neighborhoods, so to speak, and could be considered by some as actually a blight. So, and that may be another way to address the issue with regards to, would encourage somebody to do something with the property rather than just let it continue to exist in its current condition, whether it's this property or whether it's some of the other residential properties. properties that we've had discussions about as well too. So if your goal is you're just not happy with what you see there now, you have, I guess the point I'm trying to make is you have multiple options to address it. Rezoning it, or conditionally rezoning it to a commercial use is one of those options, but that isn't your only option if you're not happy with the way it is now. So don't think that that's, either you have to exist with it the way it is now, or you have to give it as a commercial use to get something to happen now. So you always want to, from my perspective, I always encourage them to take a look at the long-term view and not necessarily just what's presented before you at this immediate time.
Thanks. So your point, you said if we take it to the August 14th, second reading, and that gives, I think you were implying that that gives the applicant and or the staff to tweak this. We can't do that, can we? What's on the table is on the table. They cannot go back.
It's not a negotiation. They need to make an offer.
And that's by state law, not our policy.
Yes.
And so I guess with regards to that point, the way I take it, unless Scott can correct me or clarify it, what you're looking at now is basically going to be the same thing that you're looking at on August 14th, if there is not going to be a change. So
unless the applicant amends their offer.
Would that have to go back to the Planning Commission?
I would recommend it.
So I think if there is going to be a renegotiation, it's going to have to take place. Now, again, as I mentioned before, if you just want more time to think about this, or you want to have other neighbors or something like that have the opportunity to come forward and present more information for you to consider, then definitely, you know, taking it to the August 14th meeting is a viable option. Well, we may end up at the same point. You'll have to, at some point, you'll have to make a decision as to whether this is yes or no.
So, with that in mind, I would entertain a motion. Is that our next step?
If you're ready for that, yes.
Our discussion is thorough and through.
Well, I'll make a motion that we review the proposed ordinance and schedule a second reading for August 14th.
I would second that.
Any further discussion? Roll call, please.
Grunch?
Aye.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Solomon?
No.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Moving on to item D, tobacco-free regulation options.
At our May 22nd City Commission meeting, we received correspondence and entertained conversation regarding the possibility of regulating tobacco use-related matters in city parks. At the end of that discussion, staff was requested to look into the matter and bring it back to the City Commission for further consideration. So here we are. In researching this matter, I've communicated with other communities and regional and state public health agencies. Several cities around us have adopted resolutions or similar items to declare their selected areas as tobacco-free. They have included, some have included vaping and marijuana-type items as well. I've included a copy of a resolution that was passed by the City of Petoskey in the Commission's agenda packet. Similar tools were used in East Jordan and Charlevoix as well. The tools that these communities have passed were advisory in nature, with no enforcement mechanisms whatsoever. So you can post signs about it saying this is declared a tobacco-free or vape-free or whatever the free areas are, whatever the items that you're looking to get the word out about. But if somebody was actually doing that, staff or law enforcement or things of that nature would have no ability to enforce. They could not compel anybody not to use the products in the designated area. So somebody could complain, but other than encouraging somebody not to do it where there's no enforcement ability. The city of Port Huron has taken a step further, and last month they adopted, and I provided for the commission an ordinance that with their new wording that's highlighted in yellow. This type of ordinance can be enforced if necessary, just like any other city ordinances. And usually when we have an ordinance of this type, it's enforced through a civil infraction and a ticket and things of that nature as well. I was able to reach the city of Port Huron and learn about them in my conversations with the state. They pointed to this example as well. And like I said, they provided me the draft ordinance. The state also provided another ordinance that's included in your agenda packet that is very thorough, and to me it seemed a little overly complicated for what I think we're trying to accomplish, but the commission can give you guidance on that. And I think in the end result, I don't know if we're really achieving much more than what Port Huron does. In communicating with the four city managers that I talked to, they all said that what they had adopted in their communities was well received and worked well for them. The three communities that just adopted a statement saying that these are tobacco or other free zones seemed to say it, you know, for, by and large, it worked well for them, and they haven't had any issues with regards to it. I've got a similar response from Port Huron as well, too, that they felt that adopting the ordinance was right for their community as well. Ultimately, the commission will have to determine what, if anything, is right for us. And that's a point I want to stress, is because just because we're looking at other communities and how they deal with it doesn't necessarily mean that that's right for Point City. And as an example, I point out that many communities do not allow alcohol consumption in their parks. But we do, and we have almost no problems with regards to that whatsoever. But sometimes other communities will call me up and say, hey, what do you do for alcohol in your parks? And we say, well, we allow it. We have pavilions that we allow it in, and we even allow it here in the city facility. And we've never really had an issue with it. And they kind of go, oh, geez. Other communities, when the ATVs, as another example, when all-terrain vehicles were allowed on streets under certain conditions, just kind of banned the use of them. We kind of took the step back and said, okay, we'll allow it, see what happens, and if we need to regulate it, we'll come up with the appropriate regulation. We've never had to go back to it. The issues, there have never really been any significant issues that have come up that have caused us any problems. My point here is that in recent years, we take action or regulate things when there is a reason to do so, not just in anticipation of a possible problem or issue. In some ways, that's given us a competitive advantage. We're seen as a community that tries to find a way to say yes and not just say no for the sake of saying no. So we have had some Facebook posts from time to time, and I've talked to various members of our staff about, okay, how significant is of an issue is this smoking when it comes up? And it doesn't come up very often, other than the main time it seems to come up is when we have major activities like during the 4th of July and everybody's out, you know, to watch the fireworks and things of that nature. But other than that, I'm not familiar with other complaints. We do, as most of you that have participated in the Buffalo Coin Removal Test, we do find significant number of cigarette butts on city properties that have been discarded and need to be picked up. I mean, this is true at Peninsula Beach Park, it's true in all of our parks. There are a number of people that do not clean up after themselves with regards to that. And that is an issue for us. Keeping that in mind, I mean, the public's interactions with smoking have evolved greatly over the years, and as the science regarding the matter has evolved. It wasn't that long ago that smoking was pretty much a cultural norm and allowed everywhere. It was not that long ago that we had a significant change throughout the state of Michigan and here in Point City with the banning of smoking in restaurants and bars that basically flipped that norm 180 degrees. I mean, I can remember full well going into the Red Mesa when I first came in town and having to go past the bar and endure the smoke as we went to the no smoking zones in the past. That's kind of, it's amazing how soon you forget those joys. Now smoking is banned more places than not, and that is pretty much the new norm. And I think in some respects people are more sensitive to smoke now because it just isn't out there as much as it needs to be. So basically I see three general options for the city commission. Now, the first one would be remain with the status quo and do nothing. If we feel that there isn't a significant enough issue with regards to it, leave it alone. Two, we can adopt a resolution similar to the one that was adopted in Petoskey or Charlevoix or East Jordan, where we basically declare some of our areas, whether it's parks or other public properties, as smoke-free, vape-free, or other-free zones. The library adopted one for that, but they also have a policy. I think they can dispel somebody if they're doing it there. Or number three, create an ordinance. And if you are inclined to create an ordinance, I would encourage you to do one similar to Port Huron, because that seemed straightforward and common sense to me. And there could be variations on items two or three above that the commission might want to consider as well, such as creating an ordinance that only regulated smoking and similar matters, only during major public events or gatherings. We have certain things that, you know, you're not allowed to take dogs into our parks during major events. So there's some tweaking that you can do other than just the three examples that I put out there. And if the commission is interested in drafting an ordinance, it would be helpful for me to get the direction for what the city commission would be looking for. If the city commission does wish to take some type of action, I would recommend, and I used the wrong word in my memo, that you may want to consider a policy similar to the one adopted by the city of Petoskey. One of my concepts is not to over-regulate, and that might be a good place to start if you are looking to take some type of an action. And if for some reason you didn't feel that that was sufficient, ultimately, we could take it up to the next step, to similar to a full-blown ordinance with enforcement capabilities like a Port Huron did as well. So I've included, as I mentioned before, a marked-up copy of their resolution of what Petoskey adopted for the City Commission's consideration could adopt today if you were so inclined. So that's my review of the matter. Again, my recommendation was that the City Commission consider the matter and determine what, if any, action it feels is appropriate regarding smoking and tobacco-related uses in city parks or other public properties, and act accordingly. And there's a number of options for you there as well, too. So that's my review of the matter, and I'd be glad to address anything I've found so far.
Thank you, Mike. At this time, department heads or staff, comments on this topic? And we'll open up to the public. And please state your name for the record.
I'll go first.
Yes.
Melissa Castro, the one that started this back in May. And I'm going to reiterate some things. The health department statistics show that 80% of our population, and it is more if you include children, are non-smoking. And I would like to see this be passed. And the option, of course, is up in the air as to which direction you're going. I definitely want something done. I don't think we should continue protecting the 20% that, in my mind, really don't want to be healthy and are affecting the health of the other 80% plus, especially our children. That is really, those are our future generations, and I reiterate something that Petoskey City Manager said to me over the phone, that it is our job to educate our future generations. We had, and Mr. Grant, you were not here, I apologize, that meeting in May, we had a group of girls that are part of, what is the title?
The Save
the Mission. Yeah, and they found a wonderful video, was on the agenda, I don't know if you received that. It states it so clearly that this is what the majority of our future generations want to see. Also, I'm going to reiterate the effects of our environment, the air, our water, given it gets into our waterways. I never thought about it. Honestly, Brian Kosminski mentioned it when they go down the river, they see cigarette butts all over the place in our river. And that is one of our town's biggest resources, is our beautiful wine river. And we're protecting our river because of the balloons, the 4th of July, yet we don't want to protect it from the cigarette butts and the tobacco. The tobacco butts do take 15 years at least to biodegrade. The tobacco butts, cigarette butts are also a concern for children swallowing them. There have been reports of children putting them in their mouths. I was at the dog park the other day, and a puppy was trying to eat one. So, just protect everyone, including our animals. Cigarette butts are also a fire hazard. There was a fire at Avalanche Mountain. Who knows if it was caused by a cigarette butt or something else, but I think it's a safe guess that it was a cigarette butt. This was a month and a half ago or so. I had friends that actually were there and they reported it. So, once again, one of our wonderful resources can be at risk for a fire. And that was during the fire season. So, we were lucky that somebody caught it. And another story, a friend who works for Sharam, our media school district, was out at the Petoskey Independence Park the other day with her boss. Her boss was teaching a lesson for the college for kids. And she had this big group of kids all lined up at a big old bunch of picnic tables all put together. And there was a woman on the end smoking. And she looked at my friend and she said, "Is there anything?" She goes, "You know, supposedly one Petoskey has supported this initiative." And so it gave her the wherewithal to approach this woman and say, "Ma'am, I understand you sense your park, the park here is non-smoking." And she goes, "Well, I don't agree with that." But she put it out. So it provides us with this ability to self-enforce. So whether you make an ordinance where a citation can be given or not, it gives us the ability to stand up and speak for ourselves. We don't want to be exposed to the secondhand smoke and the risks for ourselves and our children and our family members. And I just feel like more people are going to be aware of it. Though my favorite day of the year is 4th of July, it's better than Christmas for me. I love listening to the bands in the park. We'll scope out a spot. Sit down, and inevitably somebody comes up and sits next to us. Now, it might not be right next to us. It could be a few blankets down, and we will be downwind. And it ruins the whole experience for me. I'm that sensitive to it. There is no place to go. We'll, you know, same thing at the fireworks. We'll scope out a spot, and somebody lights up. I have no power to say anything. And I would like to have that power. But then I'm at risk of this all my life. Quite frankly, it's time. I believe I'm done, but we'll see where this goes. Thank you.
With that being said, we were just under 5 minutes, and I was going to let you speak as long as you wanted because you are the presenter for this case, but generally speaking, we limit the comments to 5 minutes. But you still make it under 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor.
Would anyone else like to speak? Yes.
Yep. Hi, Michelle Carter. I am here to support some type of ordinance or tobacco-free zone statement. Again, like Missy stated, you know, I hike Avalanche, and I have for years, and it's just a dirty habit that people feel it's okay to smoke and extinguish their cigarette butts out the trails, how many times that I've seen it in dry leaf beds. There's just no consideration with respect for nature or the environment. Now, since doing the dog park project, I mean, I can't begin to tell you, again, how many cigarette butts that we have to walk through that park and pick up. And we've got from puppies to dogs to children, I mean, it's a family environment, and again, it's the kind of habit that, whether it's the cigarette butts, that somebody else has to be exposed to that, or it's putting it in the air, it's not the kind of habit that can be self-contained, like somebody that wants to go and have a drink. If they want to put the alcohol in their system, that's within, you know, their right to do that. But if somebody wants to smoke, that's unfortunately something that we all have to share in whether we want to or not, or we excuse ourselves. And as somebody with asthma, I am so sensitive to cigarettes and, you know, to leave a restaurant, to leave a bar, to leave an environment, to leave an event is unfortunate, but if that's what I have to do to avoid it, then so be it. But, you know, with all due respect, I hope that we can kind of move forward with the kind of the trend that other communities are adopting.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yes.
Cindy Banner. I agree with both of them. I would really like to see us have some type of smoke-free policy. My preference would be for ordinance. You know, we've gotten grants here to promote our parks and rec. I participated with that. We had walking programs to try to get people to more parks. You know, I've been alluded to a couple of things of I'm down on the river, you know, where people come in canoeing and kayaking. The same thing with cigarettes, you know, they'll do it on the river. First thing they do, you know, they come out, get out of their canoes, kayaks, have a cigarette, put it out in August. I walk down there every single day, and I choose to clean that up. You know, there's kids down there coming in, the same type of thing. Avalanche to me is a huge one. I'm a big mountain biker. Sunday was wonderful. I mean, I've seen the use out there increase tremendously with those bike trails out there. I saw three families out there with young kids, biking. We have the disc golf out there, and people are walking, and it is non-stop smoking. And exactly as they alluded to, the cigarettes go out. I know it's enforceable out there because I've seen our wonderful police department out there on the bikes for other issues to take care of out there, be it recreational drug use or whatever. And I was out there biking last night, prime example. I'm on the bike trail, having a wonderful time, and there's people walking on the hiking trail, and they're smoking. And honestly, for 5 minutes, that's all I could smell was the smoke. You know, and I just, we're really trying to promote a healthy community here in our school system. I mean, we have a big program that recognizes drug-free and smoke-free athletes, huge poster size that go up in the school that are set aside, and they do that each year. And I just think for us as a community to continue to promote that would be a wonderful idea. I think the, you know, doing it as an ordinance, so it's enforceable, would be wonderful. I mean, what I see with that is, you know, hey, did you realize, I don't see us writing up a bunch of tickets, and as Missy alluded to, you know, for the average person, you know, even when you say that, oh, did you realize this is a smoke-free park? A lot of people are like, I'm sorry, you're going to run into the, but have that ability to enforce it so that we can all enjoy those areas and with those events. And, you know, same thing as Missy, I've been down there on 4th of July, and I don't know why it is, but inevitably, you know, I'm down there ahead of time enjoying, and someone sits down smoking. It is very offensive to me, and I'm sensitive. I have two family members that are highly allergic, and so we end up having to move, you know, which is what we choose to do. But I just think, you know, it would make us just that much better as a community to do that, so.
Thank you, Cindy. Anyone else? Yes?
Susan Plasky from Health Department, and obviously I'm going to agree with everything they said. I just want to reiterate, though, with how it affects youth, and there's research to show that if youth see people smoking, they're more likely to smoke, and if they're not exposed to smoking, then they're a lot less likely to smoke. And I think that's a really important thing when we're looking at our youth in the future, is to have a lot less of them ever start from the beginning. Because once they start, it's very, very hard to stop. And most people aren't starting when they're in their 20s or 30s. They're starting by the time they're 19. And so if we can stop it there, hopefully they'll never be long-term smokers. So that's one thing I really want to reiterate. And then also I had mentioned in May that we do have signs at the health department available so that you're, you know, if you do a resolution or an ordinance, it doesn't matter your way, we can still provide the signage.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, we'll go to board discussion. Sally, you want to start?
I'm torn. I really understand. I was a smoker. I started at 19, as a matter of fact. And I didn't quit until about maybe 20 years ago. And you do reach a point even after that, that what it brings into the environment when you're used to not being there anymore. So I feel a little bit for the people who do smoke, and you know, they let no one let them smoke, perhaps. And maybe that's not a bad thing. But I would like to see something done to at least maybe just have some designated area where everyone knows. I can remember flying to airports and, you know, they had the smoking lounge. You practically died when you walked in there because it was just full of it. But I'd like to see something done. I'm just not sure, you know, whether it should be a total thing or what.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I think approving the four resolutions that Mike has presented, which is based on Petoskey's resolution that was passed by their council and what East Jordan's done, Charlotte Way has done, I think it would be a good start. And if it doesn't seem to have the impact that we hope it would have, then we can move it to a, you know, a zoning law, not a zoning law. We could move into enforcement. But anyways, I must confess myself, I was a smoker at one time during the military and college, and I haven't touched one in over 50 years. But it's egregious. And the wife and I, every stroll the streets, and many times in between, two or three times a month, we'll walk the waterfront down here. And a lot of the benches, there are just cigarette butts everywhere. It's just unsightly, it's unhealthy. And I think we need to at least start with a resolution today. And if we need more enforcement, then we'll take it to the next level.
Thank you, Ron.
And I think creative signing is critical too. And I'm glad you mentioned that there's, you have signs available, and I think especially, you know, the benches in the parks and everybody, you know, the 4th of July, a lot of people will sit there and, you know, sit there and smoke three or four cigarettes sitting on the bench there, and sometimes even on stroll the streets, we've walked, you know, the pathway right there from downtown here at City Hall or the marina and all the way out to East Main and make a trip. And, you know, see areas where, you know, somebody sat down and we come back 15 minutes or a half hour later and they're still sitting there smoking again. So I think this creative signage and educating, you know, our youth and educating. And then the other thing is we have young grandchildren and seeing them, they come down here regularly to our children's park and see a young couple out there, or a young mother or father sitting outside smoking a cigarette while their kids are in there playing, and I just don't get it. So I'm in favor of starting with the resolution anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt it's an important public health issue. Both individuals who smoke plus secondhand smoke is well documented and has been for a long time. So it seems to me like this is an issue that for the benefit of our residents and our visitors, you talked about the difference between a resolution and an ordinance, and the goal of either one is compliance. Right? It's not clear to me that with an ordinance we would get necessarily better compliance, because in order to enforce an ordinance, we would need somebody or people in the position of issuing citations for that. And with our, you know, we only have a certain amount of passing, which is quite limited, to you know, take enforcement actions. I think we could get just about to the same, or to the same point, with education and self-enforcement, as other communities have found. I really like that Petoskey approach. I think the language is simple, and I think that combined, you know, a resolution like that combined with, as Ron said, signage and education, and help from our partners in publicizing that fact, I think over time we're seeing compliance without such a perception of a heavy-handed approach, perhaps, to try to reduce or eliminate smoking or tobacco in our parks. I think that policy would be reflective of our citizens as well and their desires and interests. That the way that you talk about attitude tonight about smoking, all that's changed so much. I think that change is reflective in our own community as well. And just the fact that other communities have been successful with that approach and are happy with it has been well received sort of argues that would be an approach that we might want to take as well. So I guess to summarize that, I think that today I think we could, I sort of crafted a version of it that we could, if we wanted to approve a resolution to make our city parks tobacco-free.
Did you want to add something?
Well, yeah, city parks, when he said city park, because, you know, I know there are a lot of people that work in the bars and restaurants that work there, and when they're on the break, they're out in the alley or wherever having a cigarette. And, you know, where I live, I'm right on the pathway from the high school, and I find, when I go out to mow the lawn, I find cigarette butts in my yard, and that doesn't sit too well with me either. But, yeah, I think something has to be done, and I think a resolution is at least a way to start.
Well, it's my turn. I have mixed feelings. I agree with everything you've said. On the other hand, what right do I have to tell someone that they can't smoke? I also don't, I want to make it clear that not every smoker litters. Many, many smokers are very conscientious, and they put their butts in their pocket and discard them properly. I guess I've never smoked in my life, but I'm sympathetic that if someone in our city marina wants to sit out on the boat and have a cup of coffee and a cigarette, I'm okay with that. If someone wants to canoe down the Boyne River and enjoy, when you're done, a cigarette, and they get enjoyment out of it, that's why they do it, and dispose of it properly, I can sympathize with that. If someone, after a hard day at work, and they take their dog to the dog park and wants to sit on the bench and have a cigarette, appreciate that, even though I don't get it, I don't smoke it. But it's that fine line as to, are we regulating too much? Are we regulating for a few days out of the year that it becomes a problem? Are we regulating cigarette with the 4th of July, and there's usually alcohol, and there's alcohol, people tend to smoke more. So there is that balance that I want to reach without becoming too come down hard on the 20% of new smoker. Because most days, you might be the only person at, or a group of you playing disc golf might be the only people in the avalanche. On a given day, you might be the only person at the park that, after you finish your kayak trip, small. With all that being said, I support a resolution because it's the right thing to do. It is an educational thing. It is a part of this. In my mind, smoking wouldn't be an issue if they wouldn't litter. It's littering that's the issue, more so than the smoking, because I think most of the time people smoke and they're not affecting other people. They courteously walk away. I mean, there's people that smoke and make the right decisions conscientiously to not impose on other people. They walk away from a crowd to light up a cigarette. I deserve that. So, I'm kind of defending the smokers, but I don't smoke. I shouldn't be defending the smokers. But with that being said, I think a resolution is, we seem to be in agreement, there's four of us, and it makes sense, and it's a first step, and we can see how that works. And I think it gives us the right for a citizen and or a employee to, hey, did you know, as you mentioned, hey, did you know that there's a resolution not to smoke in the city park? So I guess I go along with my fellow commissioners that a resolution of some type is the first step.
Well, I personally like the one that Mike has crafted here. It's got the four points to it, and I think it's taken, you know, from the Petoskey resolution, so I would support that. I think it's well written. It's a good starting point. Can be refined later if necessary.
Are you putting that
the City of Boyne City Commission adopt this resolution designated that all city parks be tobacco free. I think it was seven. Very, very well. So I'll make that motion as presented.
Second. Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'm wondering, within the language that provides some a little bit of extraneous language that refers to other things other than parks, and in our case, we have just parks. For instance, in the first paragraph, it says, where the first whereas says, second line, at city recreation facilities or parks. Well, we talk about parks in our
yes, yes. The Rotary Park, I mean, any recreational facilities that we do have are, I believe, in a city park.
Right.
So I think those are kind of duplicative.
So just cleaning up a little bit of language on if you think that's supporting them, we got to move around if you think those changes are worthwhile. And then in the second whereas, it says designate tobacco-free parks and tobacco-free zones within certain parks. Well, we're just talking about tobacco-free parks.
It may read all parks.
All parks, right. And then in the fourth whereas, it says free zones at city playgrounds, athletic facilities, and certain parks and park areas. But we're just talking about parks.
Correct.
You're supportive of Ron, I would suggest those changes to your motion.
I'll accept that. Specialty hall.
Yes,
ma'am. It's all inclusive.
There was a couple points I was going to bring up, you know, now you're finding a direction to go. Because there were two areas that the mayor mentioned. This, as defined, would not include the city marina. I do not consider that a park, nor the boat launch a park. This would not include the Boyne River, because we don't own the Boyne River. It is a natural resource, and the Boyne River isn't a park, and unless you're on an abutting area,
Riverside.
Yeah, we have Riverside Park, and we have the nature area and the industrial park. Those would be classified. Those would fall within this definition, of, at least the way I interpret it, as a, you know, as a park or recreation area. I just want to make sure that we're all kind of on the same page as we go to this. And also, with regards to it, in some of the ordinances that were out there, and I know that the library adopted one as well too, and this talks, the ordinance that I presented to you talks just with regards to tobacco-free. It doesn't deal with the issue of vaping, or it doesn't deal with the issue of marijuana. I don't know if you care to address those at this point. I just want to make sure that we all know what we're adopting when we adopt it.
Would not marijuana already be
law? Well, it is too, you know,
right now.
It is currently.
Yeah.
It is currently, and I'm not sure what the I don't know what the status is with regards to, we haven't had a spate of these that I'm aware of, you know, somebody with medicinal needs, if they can do that publicly or not. I don't know the ins and outs, and the chief isn't here. So, again, I'm not saying that you need to deal with those. I just want to make sure that we're clear as to what the commission is considering adopting.
City parks are city parks, all city parks.
So I want to address, this resolution would not address Sally with her sidewalk issue with regards to it, because that is not the city park.
But it would address it, so I wanted to have a cigarette in the privacy of their pipe boat in our marina that would be permissible for this ordinance, correct?
Correct, I know Barb's got a hand up too.
Yes,
well,
Barb.
I just question the marina upland does not necessarily have boundaries, so I guess I'm curious if somebody's sitting under the marina pavilion that is for the boaters, is that considered? It's all in Veterans Park.
No, I agree. No, that's not in Veterans Park. The harbor master has jurisdiction over certain areas and properties that she has direct control over. The boat launch and the marina facilities, including the upland facilities, I consider the marina, not the park.
Okay.
So,
but just to be clear then, because our ordinance, when it talks about the marina, it talks about the property line between us and Honeywell.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just, it doesn't matter to me, I'm just not clear on if I'm going to direct my boaters to smoke, not smoke, here's a smoking area.
I think the spirit of it would be smoke on your boat. Again, it'd be, there's some discretion, of course, in that, but if making a suggestion, the spirit would be that trying to, in those public spaces, not have tobacco use.
So another clarification that brings up, so you said sidewalks and streets are not part of this.
Not unless they're in a city park.
Not unless the parks.
No, I just have to catch them and run out.
But creative signage can do a lot of good.
Oh, yes.
Can I add one more thing?
Please do.
Mike had mentioned the vaping issue, and right now vaping is probably the biggest issue that schools are dealing with. And it's just emerging like crazy. So when Petoskey adopted that resolution back in 15, vaping was really hardly even talked about or heard about back then. So what they didn't include it back then because it really didn't exist that much. And since then, I mean, it has just boomed. And so I would encourage you to include vaping in there. A lot of the schools have gone back and changed their tobacco-free policies in their school grounds to include, and they call it new generation products. And that basically covers anything that's going to be coming out, not just vaping. I mean, like they say, like vaping, and then they'll say new generation products because who knows what's coming next. And it kind of includes all of those things because the trend just keeps changing. But that would cover that as well.
Thank you. That was a second vote. Recreational marijuana, that will pass. We'll worry about that if it passes in November. So.
Question.
Yes.
And maybe pushing the limit here. You guys brought it up, the city sidewalks. What? Where could that stand? Could that be included? That would be. So, stroke mentioned stroll the streets.
Would it like public gatherings?
I don't know. Obviously, the parks and beaches.
I'm comfortable with the parks.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think that's
I don't even have to sidewalk in front of my house.
I think starting with the parks and then creating signage for these different areas, you know, whether it's including the sidewalks, it's going to be an educational process.
Right, okay.
But it'd be a start, so I think we just need to get started.
And depending on how
it comes out later,
moves forward from there too.
Yeah.
Did you have something to add on?
I just want to make sure I'm clear because right now we're talking about parks, so we're not talking about sidewalks throughout the town or downtown or anything like that.
Right, but we can still play creative signage there.
No, we cannot unless we adopt a policy to put it there. The policy that you're adopting says we're going to create this area here, and that's where I want to clarify the confusion. That I was starting to sense is this. I don't see anything in this motion that authorizes staff or encourages staff or directs staff to put signage in areas that are not in the designated zone. I would only think that we put the signs in the whatever zone the commission chooses to designate. So if you wish to include sidewalks, I think that's a different resolution with different parameters.
I don't want to go there. I want to stay with the parks. That's where people gather for events, and that's where we have children. That's where we want to educate. I think we're really stretching if we start talking streets and sidewalks.
Well, I hope to get started with at least the parks anyway.
We're at more deliberations, so I guess you
know. I've heard a question about vaping too. I've heard a lot about that as an emerging public health issue. I think I'm comfortable with the tobacco use to start with now because sometimes it's even hard now to know what vaping is because of so many definitions. And I think as that issue evolves and it becomes greater clarity about who's at risk and where, we might be in a better position to know how to incorporate vaping into our policy. It also gives us a chance to see how policy work. Are we having a difference using this approach, which is, again, based on education? There's no saying I'm comfortable with your motion. And if you're comfortable with those minor amendments to amend the motion, the word all, right, to clean up the language on there that moves to think that are extraneous.
Vaping is kind of in a different place too, because I have known many people who have chosen that when they wanted to quit smoking cigarettes. But I also know that it's now used for marijuana products. So, you know, that's something we're going to be dealing with when they really start to get down to the nitty gritty on marijuana laws and really getting there fast.
So we do have a motion with the amendment of Dean's suggestion for wordage changes.
It's the second I concur with those.
Okay. And you did concur with that.
That's correct.
So the motion is on the floor. We've been under further discussion. Let's wrap it up. Is there any further discussion? Okay, roll call, please.
Needhammer?
Aye.
Page?
Aye.
Salomon?
Aye.
Grunge?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Thank you.
My only concern is that my signs do say no vaping. We had them updated to say no vaping. So they say no tobacco, no vaping.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We're staff.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Can I ask one that will be effective?
Fair question. It's going to go ahead with your staff. How does the
policy is effective now?
Because it's a resolution and not an ordinance.
That is correct. But I'm not aware of anything that would prohibit us from that. So, I mean, we have to get signage and things up for that. But again, it's an education process, as you indicated. The signs will be part of the education process. You need your card before you leave from social academies and must take around the afternoon so I can make arrangements on working with the signs. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's effective now as the commission wants to stipulate something otherwise.
We're okay with that. Okay, effective now. Thank you, Mr.
I'm sure there will be something in the media on that momentarily. And there will be something we'll put on those city's websites and things of that nature.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Moving on to item C, our city parking study team introduction.
In the back of the commission chambers, we have two representatives of Rich & Associates. Their firm is located in the city of Detroit. They're going to be with us through the remainder of this week, and they are conducting a parking study, primarily centered on the downtown region, but also extending up to include certain areas such as the main boat launch and the open space properties. We've been able to receive this service through the Michigan Economic Development Corporation in partnership with the Michigan Municipal League because we are a certified redevelopment-ready community. So we get certain services that help us make us more redevelopment-ready, and obviously parking and where people can park and things of that nature and the demands for parking influence how we develop in the community going forward. These individuals are going to be meeting with anybody that's interested in parking, either in one-on-one sessions that they'll be holding tomorrow, or at a meeting, as I mentioned here earlier at the beginning of the meeting, in the library at the community room at 6 p.m. There'll be a public meeting on the public on our parking needs. So I don't know if you wanted to take a moment and introduce yourself and kind of explain to the commission a little bit more about your process.
Please.
My name is Omni Lawrence. I'll be the project manager for the study.
Stephen Wilson, parking planner.
All right, so we'll be working together to create an overall comprehensive plan that will help you move forward into the future. It'll give you a good idea today of what your parking needs are, where you have shortages, where you have surpluses, those types of things. But you'll be able to use this tool into the future. If you get a developer coming in wanting to develop, you'll be able to take the tool, we'll create a demand that staff will be able to update, including a full parking inventory, public and private parking, a land use database, going off of what you have, but it's creating a demand, parking demand matrix overall, so you can see how much of a surplus deficit you have on each block. So that developer comes in and says, this is how big I'd like to do council will provide you recommendations on how to best and most effectively use the parking you have, when in the future you may need additional parking and where that should be. Show you some reasonable walking distances and things like that, and just kind of overall parking management tools and recommendations.
So anyway, Friday, the parking heads had the opportunity to meet with them this morning, shortly after they arrived, and had a chance to talk through a number of the issues that we have going on in the community with regards to parking. And again, this is one of our opportunities to hopefully stay abreast or ahead of future development and opportunities as they come forward. So if any of you have any parking-related topics, this doesn't have to take place here, but if there's anything that you'd like to connect with these representatives while they're here. Again, they're here through the end of the week, and they'll be getting us a report, what was it, about 10 weeks after?
Approximately 10 weeks.
So there'll be some further feedback on it. So that's a great resource, I think, for the community. We're very pleased to have them here.
That's great. You know, parking comes a lot, you know, issues. Everybody has an opinion, of course, as you know, and everybody has a number to share. And so to have this sort of tool for us, I think it's going to be really helpful.
I totally agree, and you've probably heard this many times, or I hope you have, that we don't have a parking problem 320 days a year. But on those July days, yes, we have a parking problem.
Well, in our meeting this morning, we discussed between staff and them the real parking problem that we have concerns about is when there aren't people in the parking spaces. So that's a parking problem that we'd be most concerned about. Unfortunately, that hasn't been a problem in recent years.
Yeah, there's many other communities that wish they had a parking problem.
That is correct.
So, take that into note, please.
Got another question. In regards to diagonal parking, reverse diagonal parking, is there very many cities out there that are doing this? I believe we were told that Frankfurt was doing this, but I'm not sure if I got the right town, but how that's worked in other communities, because we've got some real tight corridors, you know, on our diagonal parking, and it's very difficult to see around the next vehicle when you're backing out.
Right.
I know Traverse City has recently adopted some in their warehouse district by where the old Red Lumber Company, Red Bill Lumber, used to be.
Okay.
Right across the street from their Beta transportation, kind of the Candle Factory, just off Grandview Parkway there. Elk Rapids tried it a few years ago, and I don't know if it was just people weren't used to it, but they abandoned it after a few years in their locations as well, too.
We
to me, it kind of seems like traffic circles on paper. They really present a lot of strong arguments to try them, but they're something new and different, and in some respects, it creates some confusion. But the theory on it seems good. I don't know what they found.
Right. The theory on it is you're backing into a parking space and your trunk is at the curb. So if you're shopping, when you're putting things in your trunk, it's safer. It's safer for bicyclists because you can see clearly when you're backing out. There's a lot of pros for it. There's more pros than there are cons. The biggest hurdle is in communities that have never had it before, getting it to work properly. We've seen a lot of communities do test pilots and maybe they didn't leave it quite long enough, maybe their education process wasn't good enough. We know that if you make any changes in parking and education, marketing and awareness is very, very important because people are very hesitant to change to begin with, especially when it comes to parking. If they want to be able to park in front of that front door, they want the same thing the way it used to be back before there was a parking problem, right? So. There's a lot of pros and cons, and we can put that information in the report for you. We've been looking it up for another client recently. That's kind of one of those things that comes and goes in plans, the reverse angle parking. So it's really up to the community on how you would like to stand and make that work if you're going to try a test pilot.
Would be kind of nice to know where a couple, two or three communities were successful in doing this and how they did it, the steps that they took, you know, education-wise.
Right, and we can provide that. I still think there's only probably about 30 communities in the us that use it right now, so. Like I said, you can make it work if you want to.
Thank you, and welcome to Milan. You have a small town meeting here?
Yes, really nice.
This is what we do.
That's a nice time to come up to Point City, too. I bet you that was by design.
Thank you. Moving on to the orders. I've been meaning to mention this for a while. You know, speaking of signs going out about smoking, we have some signs around town, no skateboarding, no bicycles allowed, sidewalks, and so on and so forth. It'd be interesting to, Andy knows probably where they all are, to inventory them and see if they're still appropriate rules. So, just a thought. That's all I have. Yes?
I got one thing. I'd like to commend our DPW team that the entrance to the city, we're going out to the new trail to the city, to the state park, has really cleaned up their lives and look good and clean and sharp. Gives the pulse, looks good.
Thank you. Pass it along to the crew. Okay, other announcements? The offices will be closed on Wednesday, July 4th, and I'm sorry, 4th of July. The next regular city commission meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, July 10th at 7 p.m. right here. And at 1:26, I will make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks, everybody.